It is not unusual for us to read about scholarly studies that have been conducted over time. But there was a study, I believe it came out of Stanford University, but it's been going on for over 75 years. Probably the longest study on adult development. As I understand, and I got this from a TED talk by a man named Robert Waldinger, and Robert is the current director of this study. He's the fourth over these 75 plus years. There have been four directors. He's the fourth one of those. And I believe, if I remember correctly, that they took about half of their people that they were going to study, and there were 724 of those at the beginning. It happened that they were men, and I think half of them came from that university. The other half came because they deliberately went to the impoverished area of that city, and they selected half of the subjects there. And then every 2 years for over 75 years, they've been going back with questionnaires. Now, they're looking for something, and it doesn't surprise you to know that. They're looking for what keeps us happy. What keeps us happy and often healthy as we go through life. I think there's about 50 of them still living. They're in their 90s now. And they've tracked them through the years. Now, there's a lot of things that came out of that study. But in this TED talk, I highlighted two of those. And one of them was this. Listen, this is a quote. Good relationships keep us happier and healthier, period. Good relationships. And then the other quote is simply this. The good life is built with good relationships. And I simply believe that is true. In fact, let me say something right now so that you don't miss it. Improve your relationships. Improve your life. Improve your relationships. Improve your life. There's a lot of young people today and a lot of people that are no longer young that think that the road to this kind of good life is money. And I'm not opposed to money, but that's not the key. Some think it's fame. In fact, some 50% of one of the age categories has indicated that that's their goal in life, is to be famous. But the reality is this, that it is rich relationships that cause us to feel that we have the rich life, the good life. Now, listen, here's what I propose to do with the help of God. I'm going to spend 5 Sundays and I'm going to speak to you about relationships. Today and next Sunday, I'm going to share with you 4 keys to rich relationships. And I want you to understand that I believe these are, number one, biblical, and number two, they will make a difference in your relationships. And if you improve your relationships, guess what? You improve your life. Improve your relationships. Improve your life. Now, that's the first 2 Sundays. And then the next 3 Sundays, I'm going to share with this congregation something that has been in my heart now for quite a number of years. And it's called God's House Rules. It's interesting maybe to you that all 5 of these, God willing, will come from the 4th chapter of Ephesians. So we're going to stay there for a while, and I will tell you what I believe. I believe the best relational teaching anywhere is found in the 4th chapter of Ephesians. So if you will and you have your scripture, I would ask you to open to that 4th chapter. Now, I will be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, and you, of course, may read in whatever you would choose at that point. Now, even before I begin to read about this, I want you to notice something. So with Bible open, look where it starts in chapter 4, verse 1, when Paul said, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the, here it is, calling with which you were called. We're alerted to something right now. And what we're related, what we are seeing here is simply this. We're seeing that this is written not to the whole world. It's written to the child of God. And if you don't fully see that, all you have to do is go back to chapter 1, verse 1, where Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. It's imperative to me that you understand at the beginning of this series that we are not just looking for techniques that might help your relationship. What I'm going to share with you, I believe, will help relationships because I think it's biblically solid. But I want you to understand, while anybody might have a better relationship, whether or not they were followers of Christ, simply by implementing some of what I'm going to say, hear me carefully when I say this, only those who know Jesus Christ can have the best relationship that is indeed a rich relationship and that brings to you the good life. By the way, I didn't mention this to you, but I will tell you, they said those who are most satisfied in their relationships at age 50 were also the healthiest at age 80. I got hope here, my friends. I'm on my way, and I think that we can improve our relationships, and in doing so, improve our life. So, Ephesians chapter 4, going to read for a little while, so with your Bible, follow me. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7, chapter 4, Ephesians. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Father God, I am fully aware that there will be some listening to me who are in a struggle right now in some relationship. It seems that that's simply going to always be true. So, Father, help us unpack this word in such a way that somebody will have a little bit of a new direction after our time together, and that you will be glorified as we improve our relationships and improve our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I said to you a moment ago, and I'll repeat it, that it is imperative that you look first at your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. When Jesus was challenged by one of the educated ones of his day and said, "Teacher, what is the great commandment?" You remember it. You remember it. Great commandment was, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." That's first. That's first. Don't forget that. And secondly, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Literal meaning is love the near ones. And by the way, that includes those in your own household. And I know that without those relationships being established, and the first one being the relationship with God through Jesus Christ alone, as you put your faith in what He did for you on the cross and you invite Him to be Lord of your life. Now, today, I want to share with you two relational keys from the verses that I read. Next Sunday, we're going to read part of that again and extend it a little farther. But I want us to do these two relational keys. So if you're a note taker, the question we're asking today is this question: how can I improve my relationships? Or to say it another way, what are the keys? Pastor, what are the keys to a rich relationship? Again, let me remind you, this is written to the church. And I will tell you, in my heart, I believe it's desperately needed in this hour. Because right now, the church itself is experiencing some stretching, some distress, and the ideas about what ought to be done are all over the map. And so we need these keys, and we not only need to have them, we need to utilize the keys to rich relationships. Now, with your Bible open, I want you to look back at the beginning of this, and I want you to think about something with me. When you look back in chapter 4, verse 2, he begins to say something. He says, "This is how I want you to walk. This is a worthy walk." And here he describes it. He says, "With all lowliness." I have a question for you. I'd like for you to answer it that are here with me, and I'd like for you to answer it in your living room or wherever you happen to be. I have a question for you. Is lowliness easy or hard? I'll tell you what I think. I think it's hard because it means that you subject yourself to others, that you place yourself in a lower position for the sake of other people. Now, follow me here. Is gentleness easy or hard? You say, if you were married to the one I'm married to, you'd know. It's hard to be gentle. It's hard when somebody else is being harsh. It's hard. It's not easy. How about this? Long-suffering. Oh. How about putting up with difficult people? Is that easy or is that hard? And the answer is, my friends, you know it, it's hard. It's hard. And we read on, bearing with one another in love. That's difficult. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's difficult. Now, I want to give you the first key right now. So if you're a note taker, you're going to write this down. The question is, what are the keys to rich relationships? In other words, if I want to see a relationship become more rich, then what are the keys? And the first one is just, I believe, so very simple and necessary. Are you ready? Key number one, embrace real work. Embrace real work. It's been a number of years ago that I was in the First Baptist Church of Springfield, and there was a teacher there, and he was a great teacher. And he said something that has stuck with me all these years. Listen to this. Listen to this. He said, when you meet somebody for the first time, expect one major flaw and several minor flaws. Huh? Now listen to that. See, what happens sometimes when I stand and this beautiful young lady and this beautiful man standing before me and we're going through that wedding ceremony and I can see in their eyes, oh, this is going to be so easy. It's going to be so easy. And then reality sets in because they see that major flaw and they see the minor flaws. It happens in friendships. How many people meet somebody and they say, oh, I found her. She's going to be my best friend for life. She's perfect. And then a few weeks in, guess what? She's not perfect. It's not ever going to be that way. And so what I'm simply saying to you is this. Real, rich relationships are hard work. There's no microwaving relationships. It comes through the challenges of life. Paul will say to them, you need to walk worthy of your Christian calling. And I will tell you, that is impossible except through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it is a hard work. Now, somebody already is going to be saying, now, wait a minute. I'm saved by grace. I don't have to work. Wrong. See, earning is opposed to grace. You cannot earn a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But earning, but effort is not. We are saved by grace, but we are to be diligent in our walk with God. That's what Paul's talking about. You walk worthy of your Christian calling. And if you read Paul throughout his writings, listen to some of the things he will say. Walk in newness of life. Walk properly. Walk by faith. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in good works. Walk in love. Walk as children of the light. Walk circumspectly. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Walk in the truth. And I ask, are you walking that walk in your relationships? And I want to tell you right now that you might as well suck it up and say, this is going to be hard. If I want a rich relationship with this friend, it's going to be hard. It's going to take real work. And I'm willing to embrace real work because if I can improve this relationship, I improve my life. That may sound a little selfish. I don't think it is. Because we all want the good life. And the good life is relationship life. And when we improve those relationships, we improve our life. We embrace the good and hard work of building a relationship. Friend, every rich relationship requires this kind of work. But it's worth it because when you improve your relationships, you improve your life. Understand, Paul says that you've got to consider the needs of others. You can't focus on number one. What an incredible truth in relationships. All of that language in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 has to do with that relationship consideration. Too many of us in the church operate on the basis of preference. Are you listening? Preference. Preference, Derek says, I like certain kinds of music. That's my preference. Preference, PK says, I like a certain temperature in the room. Now, there's a little story behind that because PK is always cold. I don't understand. But the fact of the matter is, there are people that life is about preference. The Christian life is about deference. Deferring to others. Well, this is my preference, but I want you to be blessed. And even if that's not my preference, I gladly defer to you because I want our relationship to be better. I want to grow in our relationship. And guess what? If you got two people deferring to each other, you got something good going on. Rich relationships come when we embrace real work. We recognize and know that anything that is going to be really, really good is going to take real work. We improve our relationships as we embrace real work. That's key number one. Key number two. I want you to go down to verse 7. And this is so important in the life of the church. And it's important in the life of relationships. I want to show it to you. Chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us. Did you get that? To each one of us, grace was given. So who's included? Every child of God. Everybody that's a member of the body of Christ. Now look at verse 16. He says, go to verse 12 first. He says, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Again, who's included? Every part of the body of Christ. But then this one, verse 16. From whom the whole body, that's everybody, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Notice the every. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. Notice the every part. So if you said, Paul, tell us, what's the key to rich relationships? He said, well, I've already let you know, it's real work. It's not going to be easy. It's not a lazy boy kind of thing. You're going to have to put your soul and your heart into it. It's embrace that real work. But here's the second one. Note takers, write it down. Key number two, accept personal responsibility. Oh, I've been hearing some interesting things about what's going to happen when we can freely assemble again as we were able to do a few months ago. What's going to happen? And so there are some that say that there are a group of people who will say, you know what? I like pajama church. I'm just going to stay home. I don't have to fix my hair. I don't even have to put my clothes on. I'm going to have pajama church. I'm going to stay there. I don't really think that's going to happen, but some say they think it will. Some people think that there will be a number of people that will say, well, I don't even know why I was going in the first place. I'm making it just fine without gathering with the people of God. I don't think I'm going back. Well, let me tell you, I don't know the answer to this, of course. Nobody does. But here's what I think. I think those who were accepting personal responsibility before the pandemic will likely show up after the pandemic. And I'm thinking that those who make that kind of commitment during the pandemic will be here. And I will tell you what I think, my brothers and sisters. I think the church will be stronger after the pandemic. I believe the better days are ahead for the church. Why? Because we will see people in this room and in rooms like it all across the country and around the world that are there because they are accepting a personal responsibility to love one another, to pray for one another, to be one who rejoices with those who rejoice and weeps with those who weep, who understand the incarnation of Jesus Christ speaks to the church. We are called to be people who are with skin on for one another, people who truly care for the needs of others. And that cannot ever be done virtually as well as it will be done personally. Accept personal responsibility. I don't think it's necessarily true, but I've heard that the most exercise some people get is jumping to conclusions and running off at the mouth. Now, I would only add a third one to that, and that is dodging responsibility. Dodging responsibility. But that is not the rich life. My good friend Randy Harwood was with me for a number of years with his wife Cheryl and their children at Ridgecrest, and then God called him to preach, and now he's been the longest tenured pastor in the history of the Baptist Church in Spokane Baptist Church. And I am so proud of him. And he told me one time about his godly Sunday school teacher who told him and the other children in that class that there were three R's. And they were not reading, writing, and arithmetic. No, the three R's were these. Number one, reverence for God. Number two, respect for others. And number three, responsibility for oneself. Oh, my friend, in any relationship I've ever been a part of, if you're dodging responsibility, you are not building a rich relationship. You need to be able to say with me, it's not my father, not my mother, it's me, O Lord. It's not my brother, not my sister, it's me, O Lord. It's not Debbie, and it's not the kids, and it's not anybody else. It is me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Accept personal responsibility. Many years ago, I gathered some men together, and there were ladies in another area, as I recall, and we were teaching on marriage relationship, and I said something like this to the men. I said, men, here's what I'm going to say to you. I'm going to say to you, first of all, do what's right. Do what's right. We usually know what that is. Do what's right. Secondly, do what's right regardless. Now, what was I saying? I was saying, do what's right even if she doesn't change. Because how many men sabotage a change in their relationship because they say, whether they say it out loud or not, this is what they mean. I'll try this for 3 weeks. But I'm telling you, after 3 weeks, she better be, you know, responding to this. No, no, no. Sir, listen to me. Give it 100% and say, I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to do what's right regardless. Regardless of how long it takes, regardless if it never happens, I'm still going to do what's right. So I do what's right. I do what's right regardless of the response of the other person or persons. And number three, I do what's right for the right reason. Now, what is the right reason? The right reason is this: to please my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if I can go to bed at night and ask the question, Father, have I pleased you today? Jesus, have I pleased you today? And the answer is yes, then it's been a good day. And maybe he, she, or they did not respond. But that's not my responsibility. I accept my personal responsibility. I want you to understand that key. The first one, embrace real work. The second one, accept personal responsibility. Well, let me end with a story of two worlds colliding. It happened on August the 30th, 1969. I was waiting down at the front at Riverdale Baptist Church. Pastor Carl Reese was on the platform, and I was watching down the aisle. My wife, Sweet Debbie, or as we also call her, Pretty Miss Debbie, she was going to come down that aisle on the arm of her daddy. Now, they were going to come when the wedding march began. But Bill got anxious. And they were halfway down the aisle before the wedding march ever started. And that was all right with me because I was ready. I was ready. And so we were married. We had a magnificent honeymoon trip to Harrison, Arkansas. And we came back home. Wasn't long after that that I realized something. I realized that Sweet Debbie had missed a lesson or two. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. See, I was the baby of the family. Any babies of the family here? Yeah, there you are. We're pretty special, aren't we? But anyway, that's another story. But I'm baby of the family, and so there were seven surviving children and my mom and dad in a one-bedroom house. And so here's the way that it worked. Here's the way that it worked. I'd come to the end of my day in my blue jeans shirt. When the day was over, I'd take the jeans off, drop them in the floor, and I'd take the shirt off and drop it in the floor. And I'd crawl into bed, and I'd go to sleep, and I guess it was a miracle, but the next day, those jeans would be picked up, and the things in the pocket would have been taken out and put on the dresser. Does anybody have an idea where I'm going here? And put those on the dresser, and that's the way life worked. And of course, for me, that's the way life was supposed to work. And I found out that Bill and Joyce Mabe had not taught Debbie that. Believe it or not, they had taught her to pick up her own clothes. Now, I got to tell you, it didn't take me long to learn, because once you get things washed a few times that are not supposed to be washed, you learn to take that lesson and learn from it. Two different worlds colliding. Now, I'd like to say that was the only collision we've had. But you'd say, you are a liar. And you were right. It wasn't even the first collision. The first collision came 2 days after we got married. I won't tell you that one. But I'm telling you, and we've had others, and we still have to work at our relationship. Do you understand that? Rich relationships are work. They're hard work. And you embrace that real work. And I'm telling you, and I, as Jerry Clower would say, if I'm lying, I'm dying. The truth of the matter is, we're still working. We're still working. And we're still learning. We're still learning to accept personal responsibility. To not point the finger at her. To not point the finger at me. But rather to realize I have a responsibility. And I am going to embrace that. I'm going to accept that personal responsibility. Two keys. Now listen to me. This means nothing unless you who are sitting in your living room and you who are here look at your relationships and ask yourself this question. Do I need to have a willingness to embrace real work? Do I need to give up my fantasy that this is going to be easy? Do I, in my life, need to accept personal responsibility and stop thinking and stop saying, it's her fault, it's his fault, it's their fault? And in the church, I would challenge you to realize and to understand rich relationships in the church are always going to be when you embrace real work and when you accept personal responsibility. Let's do it. Heavenly Father, in the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, who gave His all. He didn't give 10%. He didn't give 50%. He gave 100%. He gave His all so that we could be in relationship, Father God. And oh, I want to be that kind of man who gives 100% to relationships, that treats every person as if they matter because they do matter. And Father, to take responsibility for my own behavior and my own life. Father, I pray for Southgate Baptist Church, but I pray for any church and any member listening to this message that we'll understand if we can improve our relationships, we'll improve our life. And with your help, we can. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.